Oh, so ready to dive in. Today we are looking at labor management solutions.
Sounds good.
But not just like the general overview.
Right.
We're going to be talking about mistakes.
Mistakes, yeah.
That employers make with these systems.
Very common ones.
Yes. And you sent me this great article called, what was it called? Common Mistakes Employers Make with Labor Management Solutions.
That's the one.
And I'm guessing anyone listening is probably interested in this topic because...
Absolutely.
You know, they're either working in HR, maybe they're an employer themselves.
Maybe.
Or maybe they're just trying to, like, understand, like, how these systems work.
Right. Or maybe they've experienced some of these mistakes firsthand.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, from the employee side.
So let's just jump right in.
Let's do it.
So first, can we like, back up for a second?
Sure.
And just sort of, like, define what we're talking about when we say labor management solutions.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a pretty broad term, right?
It is.
But essentially, it's any kind of software or system that a company uses to, you know, try to make their workforce, their employees, be more efficient.
Okay. So like...
Could be things like scheduling.
Scheduling, okay.
Time tracking, payroll, even things like performance analysis. Communication between
employees. Let's be clear.
Task assignment, all sorts of stuff.
Trying to like streamline.
Exactly. Optimize, streamline.
And all the stuff that goes into managing employees.
Exactly.
And their work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the first mistake that this article talks about is inadequate training on the software.
Classic mistake.
Yeah. Why is this so common?
I think there are a few reasons, honestly. I mean, first of all, these systems can be really complex, you know?
They can.
A lot of features, a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
And it takes time to learn how to use them properly.
Right. And I guess...
And companies, they often underestimate that time.
They think,
oh, we'll just buy the software and everyone will figure it out.
It'll be intuitive,
yeah. We'll give them a manual and they're good to go.
It's, you know, it's like any other app.
Exactly. But it's not.
It's not.
No.
No.
And then, you know, they don't invest in proper training.
And then what happens?
Well, a few things.
Okay.
You know, first of all, the employees get frustrated.
Right, because they don't.
Because they don't know how to use the system. Yeah. They're not being productive. They're making mistakes.
And then the data that the system is collecting is...
The data's all messed up, so it's garbage in, garbage out.
And then the company's like, well, this system doesn't work.
Exactly. We wasted all this money.
Yeah. It's the system's fault.
When really it's their fault for not training their employees.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe. It's a classic change management issue.
Yeah.
You can't just throw new technology at people and expect them to adapt overnight. Mm-hmm. You got to bring them along. You got to show them the value. You got to train them.
Yeah. And I guess it goes beyond just the training, right? It's like you said, that whole change management.
Absolutely.
Making sure that people are on board.
Yeah. Getting that buy-in.
Yeah. With this new...
Because if they don't feel like it's going to benefit them...
They're not going to use it.
They're going to resist it.
Okay, so inadequate training is a big one.
Huge.
What's the next mistake?
The next one is not involving employees in the selection process.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and this one's kind of a head-scratcher for me.
Yeah, because I feel like...
It seems obvious.
It seems so obvious, yeah.
But you'd be surprised how many companies just completely overlook it.
Yeah, why do you think that is?
I think sometimes it's just a matter of... You know, the people making the decisions.
The higher ups,
yeah.
They're kind of disconnected.
They're disconnected from the day-to-day realities of the people who are actually going to be using the system.
Right, and they think
they know best.
Well, we'll just choose the one that has the best features or whatever.
Mm-hmm. The shiniest, the newest, the most expensive.
Yeah, the one that looks the best on paper.
Exactly. But they're not thinking about how it's actually going to work in practice.
And how it's going to impact...
The people who are using it every single day.
So how should companies involve employees in that selection process?
I mean, there's a lot of different ways.
Okay.
You know, you can do surveys, you can have focus groups, you can even just, you know, have informal conversations with people.
Just ask them, what are your pain points?
Exactly. What are you struggling with? What would make your job easier?
Yeah.
And then use that feedback to inform your decision.
So you're basically like...
You're getting that buy-in from the start.
Yeah.
You're making sure that the system you choose is actually going to meet the needs of the people who are going to be using it.
It's like that user-centered design, right?
Exactly.
You're designing.
Designing for the use.
For the people who are actually going to be...
Not for some abstract idea of what you think they need.
Yeah.
But for what they actually need.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's not just about selecting the right system. It's also about, you know, configuring it properly.
Oh, yeah.
Making sure that it's set up in a way that's going to work for your specific organization.
Yeah, because every organization is different, right?
Every organization is different.
You can't just have like a one size fits all.
No, cookie cutter approach.
No. Okay, so we've got inadequate training. We've got not involving employees.
In the selection process.
In the selection process.
What's next?
What's the next mistake?
Trying to automate everything.
Oh, okay.
This is a big one.
I feel like that's...
It's tempting, right?
It's very tempting, yeah.
You get this new shiny system. You think, oh, I can automate all the things. I can get rid of all the humans.
I can just sit back and relax.
Exactly. But it doesn't really work that way.
It doesn't.
No, not in the long run.
So where's the line? Like, how much should you automate?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And there's no easy answer. It really depends on the specific tasks and processes that you're looking at.
Okay.
Some things are very well suited to automation.
Right.
Like, you know, repetitive data entry.
Okay, yeah.
Scheduling based on availability, things like that.
Right, like things that are very rule-based.
Exactly, where there's not a lot of need for human judgment.
Okay.
But there are other areas where human judgment is absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
Like, you know, dealing with customer complaints.
Oh, yeah.
Problem solving on the fly, building relationships.
Things that require, like... empathy.
Empathy, creativity.
Yeah.
Things that computers just aren't very good at yet.
Right. So it's not about automating for the sake of automating.
Exactly.
It's about figuring out what makes sense.
What makes sense to automate.
And what makes sense to keep human.
Exactly. And using technology to augment human capabilities, not replace them.
I like that. Yeah.
Augment, not replace.
So you're basically freeing up the humans to do the things that they're good at.
Exactly.
And letting the computers handle the things that they're good at.
Which are often the things that humans don't really want to be doing anyway.
Right, like the boring stuff.
The boring, repetitive stuff.
Yeah, okay, so that's trying to automate everything.
Yep.
What's the last mistake?
The last one is not tracking ROI.
ROI, return on investment.
Return on investment, exactly.
Hey, explain that one to me.
So you're investing in this system.
Right.
You're spending money on it. You're spending time implementing it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know if it's actually paying off.
Right. Like, is it actually...
Is it saving you money?
Saving you money.
Is it increasing productivity?
Is it making your employees...
happier? Is it improving employee satisfaction?
Right.
All of those things...
You need to be able to measure it.
You need to measure it.
Yeah.
And if you're not tracking ROI, you have no way of knowing.
You're just kind of guessing.
You're guessing. You're flying blind.
Yeah.
And that's a recipe for disaster.
So how do you track ROI for a system like this?
Well, it depends on what your goals are.
Okay.
You know, if your goal is to reduce labor costs,
yeah,
then you need to track your labor costs before and after implementing the system.
Okay.
If your goal is to improve productivity,
mm-hmm,
then you need to track your output.
Okay.
Before and after.
Right.
If your goal is to improve employee satisfaction,
mm-hmm,
you can do surveys.
Sure.
You can track things like absenteeism and turnover.
Right.
There are lots of different metrics you can use.
Okay. So you need to basically figure out what your goals are. And then figure out how to measure those goals.
Exactly.
And then track those metrics.
And then use that data to make decisions.
To see if the system is actually working.
To see if it's working. To see if you need to make adjustments.
To see if you need to get a different system.
To see if you need to scrap the whole thing and start over.
Right. Okay, so to sum it all up.
Yes.
Choosing and implementing a labor management solution is not something to take lightly.
No.
It's a big decision. And there are a lot of potential pitfalls.
There are.
But if you do it right,
mm-hmm,
it can really benefit your business.
Absolutely.
And your employees.
And your employees.
So that's it for our deep dive into labor management solutions.
Great discussion.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And for our listeners, here's a little something to think about. How can these principles be applied to other types of technology implementations?
Interesting question.
Because I think it goes beyond just, you know, this specific type of system.
I agree.
It's really about any time you're introducing new technology into the workplace.
Absolutely.
Food for thought.
Food for thought.
We'll catch you next time.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.